Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Friday, January 22nd. I want to pass along a piece of sad news that just crossed. Hank Aaron died. He was 86, the baseball great who became the all-time home run leader in the 1970s when he passed Babe Ruth's all-time home run record, which was 714 home runs, and Hank Aaron went on to hit 755. It was later broken by Barry, probably with an asterisk, Bonds. But I want to reflect for just a second on Hank Aaron and race, because, of course, he was black, and he broke that home run record when he was playing for the Atlanta team in the 70s. And here's a little bit of Yahoo Sports' take on it just now. It says, Aaron, who was born in Mobile, Alabama in 1934, overcame racism in the deep South and received death threats while pursuing Babe Ruth's record. After he finished the 1973 season one home run short of Ruth's record, he received a high number of threats and racist letters. The FBI investigated the threats as well as kidnapping plots against his children, and he had to be accompanied by an armed guard for his safety. He said the threats forced him to constantly scan crowds after he retired, even after he retired, miss his children's graduations, and he couldn't open his mail for 2 or 3 years afterward. So as we are engaging in a racial reckoning in this country, that part of Hank Aaron's story needs to be told again, as it is being now, on the occasion of his death, Hank Aaron passing at age 86. And now we turn to two comedians who are seriously trying to make sense of American politics. Hari Kondabolu and W. Kamau Bell, besides the many other things they do, are co-hosts of the podcast Politically Reactive. Kamau also hosts the CNN series United Shades of America, and Hari has a Netflix stand-up special, Warn Your Relatives, now out. So Hari, welcome back, and Kamau, welcome to WNYC.
It's great to hear your voice, Brian. It's been a long time.
We've got Hari. I see our line to Kamau dropped out, so we will get him reconnected. I don't know if you want to say anything about Hank Aaron. I don't know if baseball is ever your thing.
Huge baseball fan, and I actually just tweeted about it. I mean, the idea that he was the amount of pressure that he was under hitting those home runs towards the end while he was catching Ruth was tremendous, and I think people forget that. Also, you know, his career sometimes gets lost in the shuffle, even though he hit 755 home runs, because he didn't have these audacious, like, 50 home run years, right? He was basically 30, 40 home runs for two decades. He was so consistent. So he was the heart of that lineup for such a long time, that Milwaukee and then Atlanta Braves lineup. So, you know, he's one of those. It's strange that the home run leader sometimes gets lost in the history of baseball, but he kind of does, because he also fought for social justice, and I think that gets lost too. And I think baseball, as we're moving into this different era where sports are actually taking more of a stand, athletes are taking more of a stand, I think baseball could probably learn a lot more from Hank Aaron's leadership.
Hear, hear. So your podcast is called Politically Reactive. So reactive because you're reacting to the news, or because you are activated again?
Both. I think it was an attempt at a play on words, but basically it's both those things. I think it's we react to what's there, but also we expect, you know, like our show isn't a show that is. Like, we try to hear from both sides to figure it out. No, we know where we stand. So the question is really, what are we going to do about how are we going to create greater justice in the world? Who's doing the work on the ground, and how can we support them? And that, to us, is really what the show is about. It's two friends asking questions, learning along with the audience, and figuring out what else they can do.
Kamau, you're there?
I am here. You know, it's pandemic Wi-Fi.
Okay, so I was going to take the blame for it, but if it's your pandemic Wi-Fi,
no, it's you. It's definitely you. Never mind. It's you.
Your latest episode is called Donald Trump, White People's OJ. Why that comparison, Kamau?
I mean, I don't think we made the comparison. I think Asha Rangappa made the comparison, who was our guest, ex-FBI, incredible lawyer, CNN analyst. And I think she, when she was trying to describe the three doors that Donald of that are of possible prosecution that Donald Trump was going to could experience after he left office, the third door is called metaphorical jail. And there's a great analogy of OJ didn't go to prison for the murder of two people, but he certainly lost his brand and his livelihood and ended up hanging out with a lesser class of people. So that was a great way to sort of encapsulate that in one idea that we could all grasp onto.
And Harry,
The other part of that idea too is, you know, OJ ended up going to prison, but it wasn't from that first trial. And I think that was hard for me to hear in terms of, so you're saying that Donald Trump, after all this, still might not go to trial. And our guest, Asha Rangappa, believes that there's a good chance he won't for all the things, both on the federal and state level. There's still a good chance because he's a former president and, you know, he has strong lawyers. But the idea of committing a crime after the fact, when your brand is less, when you don't have the same degree of power and people, you know, are paying attention, that's kind of what happened to OJ. And that's also why she made the comparison, like, we might not get him now, but chances are he's going to keep criming because that's kind of what he's been doing.
As the song goes, still criming after all these years.
And you guys also talk about MLK Jr. Day, which was this week. It seems like 4 months ago, but it was only 4 days ago. Or as you put it, Hari, white people quoting MLK Jr. Day. You want to elaborate on that?
I mean, to be fair, that's really potentially every day. But I think...
But that's the Christmas of white people quoting MLKJ.
Oh God, yeah, that's when the big quotes come in out of context. The I have a dreams, and you know, there's all these quotes that come out of context that don't give the full story. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like, you know, the people will talk about him being against riots and things like that, and he was talking about nonviolence, but they missed the quote about, you know, riots are the language of the unheard, and also his shifting beliefs towards the end of his life. And, you know, or the fact that he talked about being closer, you know, his political views being closer to socialism and his Poor People's Campaign, all that gets lost because in a quote, you get whatever's in the quote. You don't actually get the context.
And you talk about what you guys think Martin Luther King might have been like on Twitter. Huh. So, Kamau, what kind of Twitter user might Dr. King have been?
I mean, I hate to tell everybody, I think he would have been one of those Twitter users who they start everything with like, okay, guys, thread. And then it goes on for way too long. Where you're like this, where it starts out just 1- question mark. You're like, oh no, I've been reading this for a half hour. So
earnest Twitter.
Yeah, it would have been, they would have been good, but you wouldn't have made it through in one sitting. You'd have bookmarked it and gotten back to it later.
Like, you'd have to start with the I have a dream part. Like, you can't bury that in the 40th tweet. Like, it has to come on top of it.
All right. David in Westchester has a question for you, Kamau. David, you're on WNYC.
Hi, first time caller, long time listener, big fan of this volume. I was wondering if you would consider going back to to embed yourself with white supremacists like you had in the past to see if anything has changed in that scene.
That caller was very faint, so for people who might not have heard him, he asked Kamau if he would consider going back to embed himself with white supremacists like he has in the past to see if anything has changed. You did that, Kamau?
I mean, he's talking about the first episode of United Shades of America, the premiere episode from 2016, where I didn't embed myself with white supremacists. I took a TV crew. I did not pull a Dave Chappelle and a black white supremacist. But I did hang out with some Klan members in 2014, way before Trump was president. We did a follow-up episode, basically a follow-up white supremacy episode, just to sort of make it clear that, like, that's not the worst end of white supremacy. So, but I will not go back to hang out with the Klan. That was a one-time-only ticket. I think we know what came of that. It was called Donald Trump. So I don't think and we did an episode following up where we actually talked to ex-white supremacists about what was so seductive to it and why they finally got out of it.
I want to take a call that's not about content of your podcast. Kamau, before you came on, Hari and I were talking a little bit about the death of Hank Aaron, which just got announced this morning. And
yeah, I want to be clear. I have been a resident of Mobile, Alabama. My dad lives in Mobile, Alabama, so I grew up right near Hank Aaron Way. Like, so I know.
Oh, that's cool. We talked about some of the racism and death threats and everything that he was subjected to before and after he broke Babe Ruth's home run record. So we were doing that before you came on. And Robert in Atlanta wants to share a Hank Aaron memory. Robert, you're on WNYC. Hello from New York.
Wow, thank you so much. I was born in Atlanta and in 61, and Aaron was a hero to me as a kid. Matter of fact, my brother played football against his son here in town, but I was downstairs in my home watching that ball game. I think Al Downing was pitching, and that's right. I did something against my dad's wishes, and he sent me up to my bedroom. And about 5 minutes later, damn if Aaron didn't hit the winning, the 7-15 home run. So I gave my dad hell. He died last year for the rest of his life for making me miss one of the most important hits in history. But he invited me down to see the replay, which was great. But I'll always remember that. But Aaron was such a hero to a lot of kids my age. I'm now 59, and I was very sad to hear that news as you just told it. Thank you for telling us, though.
Robert, thank you very much. And Hari had some things to say about Hank Aaron before you came on. Do you want to add anything, Kamau?
No, I think I think for a lot of people, he's still the home run leader, you know, even though I live in the Bay Area and I know a lot of Bay Area people are not happy about the idea of your quote about Barry Bonds needing an asterisk. But, I think that the thing I remember reading in Sports Illustrated that he saved his hate mail, which I thought was just so, fascinating that he felt that he wanted to keep a record of it. So I think we have to, as you said afterwards, he had hate threats even after he stopped playing baseball. And again, to sort of connect to that last caller, white supremacy does not start and end with the Ku Klux Klan. White supremacy is through all the structures and systems of this country.
You talked about in the podcast after the insurrection, you highlighted the story of one person who's now been arrested for it, a real estate agent from Texas named Jenna Ryan, who was live streaming the riot and plugging her business the whole time. Do I have that right?
Yes, you have that correct. Yes. She took a private jet to the insurrection. And if you look at the footage without knowing what's happening, you would think she was maybe celebrating her sports team winning, except every now and again she threatens life and death. And she turns to the camera and says, Jenna Ryan, I'll be your realtor. And then when she got arrested, she went on her local news and demanded that Donald Trump give her a pardon, which apparently he doesn't watch local Dallas news because he did not.
And Hari, that's to add to that?
Yeah, that's just the audacity of caucasity. I believe that's an example of that. You are committing a crime. You are recording yourself committing a crime. You are talking about the crime that you want to commit while also giving your name and your business, treating this somehow as an opportunity for advertising because you can't imagine the possibility that you'd get in trouble. Like, that is stunning.
As many people have pointed out, this is why the Ku Klux Klan wore hoods, because they knew it wasn't a good look, literally, to be an out loud racist.
Yeah, well, that's a good phrase, the audacity of caucasity. I'm going to remember that one, Hari. And it's such audacity. I mean, I talked about this once already, but it's like Charlottesville, where they didn't feel like they needed to wear hoods anymore. They just came out in their khakis and just right out there. And the same thing at the riot. They felt so entitled to be doing that they didn't even try to hide their identities. They took videos of themselves.
Well, again, let's remember that it was because in both situations they felt they had the backing of their president, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, those people in as much as I want all of them to be prosecuted and arrested, I do have a little bit of sympathy, but they're like, but the president told me to do this. And so if you're going to arrest and prosecute them, then I think there's one other person we also need to talk about arresting and prosecuting, the ringleader, Donald Trump.
Exactly right. I just saw The Wire, so please keep this in mind with this analogy. But we're looking for street-level dealers when we really need to be going after where the drugs are coming from. And that would be Donald Trump. Again, this is a metaphor. So
I don't know if he's involved in drugs. Let's not forget, if we're going to extend this metaphor to the top dealers, let's also talk about Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz.
Yes.
Namdani, yes. In Fort Worth. You're on WNYC with W. Kamau Bell and Hari Kondabolu. Hi, Namdani.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. Mr. Bell, Mr. Kondabolu, I'm a huge fan. I'm also a woman of color. I'm Indian, and I'm a teacher here in Texas. So I want to thank you. You know, even though you do it with a comedic lens, you push inequality to the forefront. And I think white people, especially white moderates, need to be reminded of inequality because they often forget or they pretend it doesn't exist. And I want to ask you, since you're on the show I've been listening to since I was a freshman at NYU in 2008, I want to ask you, aside from your appearances on Mr. Lehrer's show, what do you think we can all do to push news outlets to only prioritize inequality?
And Namdi, I'm going to come in because we have 45 seconds left in the show, and I want them to have time to answer your question. So Hari, come out, take it away. Anything you want to say, plug the podcast, respond to Namdani. 45 seconds, go.
I would say to Namdi, never stop talking about it. Always push it. If you have social media, you're a teacher, put it in the classroom if you can. Sneak it in there if you have to. Never stop bringing it up.
If the stories that are trending that you're passing around are about inequality and injustice and truth and stuff like that, I think if this is all about analytics and numbers, I think news networks probably need to say, oh, you know, anti-racism is hot right now. Maybe we should push that onto the agenda. Politically Reactive, out every Thursday.
And Hari also has his new Netflix special, Warn Your Relatives. And Kamau also hosts the CNN series, United Shades of America. Thanks for sharing some time with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, Brian. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.